Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and longeth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Verse 4 verses are my text this morning. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word this morning. We read the superscription of this psalm. It tells the occasion for this psalm. It was when David had to change his behavior before Abimelech, the king of Gath. And you can find that story in 1 Samuel chapter 21 if you want to read it, maybe perhaps at the dinner table later on today. David was seeking refuge from King Saul, who sought to slay him. And how does he seek refuge from him? By going into the Philistine territory. And he couldn't remain there very long because they would recognize him soon. Did not the people of Israel, or at least the maidens of Israel, say, Saul hath killed his thousands, and David hath culled his 10,000s. David had good reason to be afraid for his life while there in Gath. He had lost sight of his God when he was fleeing from Saul. He takes it upon his own imagination where he should go. And now he sees there in Achish that he is also in trouble. Psalm 34 talks about that misgiving of David. David in verse 4 talks about troubles and fears. And yes, David was very afraid, crying out to the Lord, "Help me." It was bad fleeing from King Saul and his army, but now he's in the midst of the Philistines. So David tries to find a way out for himself. Can you see him, boys and girls, acting like a madman, scratching at the walls of the city? Or drooling from his mouth and the spit running down his beard? And King Abimelech says, "Don't I have enough crazies already in my city? I don't need another one." And he lets him go. From there, David fled to the cave of Adullam. And we read that his kinsmen and many others came to him there. And he became the captain of that little group. So the history of this psalm is David is in trouble. He cries to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And he experiences God's wonderful deliverance. If you look at Psalm 34, you'll notice that the first 10 verses are really a song or a hymn. And then beginning in verse 11, a sermon begins where David is going to be teaching that motley group that came to him at the cave of Adullam. He's going to teach him from his own experience of how he should have looked and trusted in the Lord instead of waiting for his own imagination to tell him what to do. So we could entitle this psalm, Praise and Trust. But because in the second point of my sermon, I also want to emphasize when there must be this praise and trust in the Lord at all times. So that's my theme, praising God at all times. Notice, first of all, the resolution made. Second of all, when this is to be carried out. And then thirdly, the fruitful deliverance that God gave. We begin with the resolution of David. I will bless the Lord. David begins this hymn by stating that he will praise Jehovah. Notice, I will do this. David personally is determined that he will do so. He is resolved that he is going to do this. He is fixed on this idea. I will praise or bless the Lord. Let others do what they want to do. But in his mind, David knows. In his heart, he's inflamed. He knows to whom the praise is due, what is due to the Lord, for what the praise is due, and when the praise is due. Praise or blessing to Jehovah alone. And notice, I will bless the Lord. That word Lord is in capital letters. And we really should read there Jehovah, the covenant name of God, the one who is sovereign, self-existent, doesn't need anything, but he looks down in mercy upon his people. He loves them. He cares for them. To Jehovah alone. not to David's cunning. He doesn't say in the psalm, I was pretty smart to act crazy. I got out of that city that way. Boy, I handled that fine. No, not at all. In fact, he is foolish. And he acted like a fool. Instead of trusting in God, David goes running from King Saul and his army right into the very heart of the Philistine, the enemies of God's people. How foolish. You'd say he jumped from the frying pan into the fire itself. Into the hands, making friends with the Philistines, whose giant Goliath he had slain, and then tens of thousands of others. No, he doesn't want to praise himself, say, I was pretty smart. No, he wasn't. Praise Jehovah. Let others do whatever they want to do, but David, and he challenges now those who are with him to serve the Lord, to bless the Lord. It's kind of like Joshua in his parting with Israel before he dies. Joshua in chapter 24 says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which you have, your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And that's what David is starting now this psalm with. I will bless the Lord. That's my resolve. Is it yours? Is it mine? I will bless the Lord. What does it mean to bless the Lord? Usually we talk about the Lord blessing us. Blessing us with health and strength, blessing us with all the gift of salvation. What is it to bless the Lord? Many psalms have that theme, don't they? A well-known psalm, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What is it to bless the Lord? To bless means that you speak good words, you speak comfortable words about a person and to a person. It means that you utter beautiful words about that person and to that person. Our English word eulogy comes from the Greek word for blessing the Lord. So David is going to speak the praises of God. He's going to speak about the beauty of his God. He's going to talk about the power of his God. He's going to talk about the glory of his God. It will forever be in his mouth. What he feels in his heart and what he knows in his mind, but it's not only in the heart and it's not only in the mind, but now it's also on his lips. He's going to speak a good word about God and to God. That, beloved, is exactly the purpose why we were created, to bring glory to God. And that is exactly the purpose why we have been redeemed, to speak good words about our God. I think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That ye might show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's the purpose of our existence. And we're going to be doing that all the way into eternity in heaven. That will make us happy. It's the only occupation which makes for happiness. Bless the Lord. Praise his name. Let our soul boast in the Lord. Then you and I will be happy people. We do this to God, and we do it before others. In fact, David encourages the others to join him. And that's what our first song this morning was all about, wasn't it? A personal testimony. Come all ye people, bless our God and tell his glorious praise abroad. Come, come, hear all ye that fear the Lord, while I with grateful heart record what God has done for me. I challenge you, how much of your conversations together is about God and what he has done for you? Not your nice vacations, not your nice house, not your cars, not about what's happened yesterday or tomorrow, but filling our conversation with what God has and is doing for us. David, there in that cave of Adullam, surrounded by that motley throng, some in debt, others discontent, some bitter, some in distress, David speaks to them good and beautiful things about God. And we read in verse 2, the humble will hear thereof and be glad. Notice who hears this song. The humble, not the proud. Not those who think a lot about themselves and strutting around like the Pharisees did. They don't think they need God. The humble, those who are hurting, those who are afflicted, those who have troubles in their life, they will hear thereof and be glad about what the Lord does for his people. They are encouraged. They're consoled. Yes, you and I in our conversations should talk about God's goodness on the purpose that others may be then confirmed in their trust in our faithful God. God is held as great exactly by those who know that they are little. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him. We read in verse 2, my soul will make her boast in the Lord. Notice David's not going to boast about himself, but he's going to boast about how great God is. His person, his attributes, his marvelous works, his sure promises, 1,000 things. God is matchless, isn't he? And so David says, I will bless the Lord. But now he says in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He's not content just to do it himself, but he wants God's people to blend their voices together in that song. How the people of God love to come together and praise God in unison. We read in the Bible in the time of Enos that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's jump from that time of Enos now to our time. Don't you love to come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night also to blend your voices in praise? How we love to go to choir sings, don't we? Or hymn sings like you're going to have tonight before the worship service. Or we love to go to our Christian schools for the children's programs or the high school and the choir's singing. We don't want to stay home, do we? We don't want to be isolated at home. It might be easier to watch sermon audio. You can have your robe on, you can drink your coffee. A 90-year-old lady in my congregation, she was sick for a couple weeks, and she says, yeah, I watched sermon audio, but oh, it's so much better to be here in church with God's people and blend our voices in praise. And the older we get, the more we appreciate church life. It's a little bit like being in heaven. And I asked the question this morning of you and me, is that the way it is for you? Is that the way you see going to church in the morning and evening with eagerness? Looking forward to joining with the others and singing God's praises? Worship and praise. Why? Why this resolution of David? I will bless the Lord. And the answer is, it was the marvelous knowledge of God's deliverance of him from the hands of King Achish. We read in verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. That's why I will bless the Lord for what he has done for me, deliverance. Again, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And then verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. That word deliver means literally God snatches us up from the brim of the precipice. You're ready to fall headlong down there to death, but the Lord snatches you up and saves you. And that's what he did to David. And that's what he does to you and me who were in our sins, dead in sin, on our way down to hell, left to ourselves. But he snatched us up from that precipice and saved us. You see, it is the experience of such a wonderful deliverance that awakes the desire to share it with all of God's people. This is what the Lord did for me. Verse 7. David thought he was smart by acting like a fool. God's people should not act like fools, like they're crazy. The solution is, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. David, you were so afraid of King Saul fleeing from him, and now you're so afraid of King Achish there in Gath. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. You were in good hands, David. Good hands. The Lord is always near to his people. Near to David in Gath. Near to you and me on our sick beds. Near to us when we're standing at the graveside of a loved one. Whatever trials, whatever afflictions, whatever pains, whatever sorrows you have, you're not alone. The angel of the Lord, Christ Jesus, encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. God hears our cries in our sorrows and in our troubles. He is not far off, but he's there standing by our side. No wonder David says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you and I need deliverance? Yes, you and I need deliverance from our main enemies, don't we? Boys and girls in catechism, you learn about those three enemies. The devil who goes about like a roaring lion seeking to devour you. The world out there that says, come join us in our games or otherwise we're going to persecute you, like they are doing in many countries today. Listen to the voice of the martyrs. Read that magazine. But the worst enemy, the devil, the world around us. But that enemy that's in Odd Springs, man, is in you, that sinful nature that we have to deal with all the time, fight against. God has delivered and is delivering us from all of our sin and all of our guilt by the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. And his righteousness is given to us. You and I who were ready to fall off a precipice. Snatched up by God. Delivered. Speak good about your covenant God. The experience of our deliverance from our sin and guilt awakens that desire to share good words about our God. Personal testimony. Parents, may your children, may your grandchildren hear from you telling stories of different times that the Lord helped you out in your lives and what he means to you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What a wonderful deliverance. That brings me to my second point. When is this resolution to be carried out? And I want you to notice that it's not someday. Not someday when I feel like it. Someday when I get my nerve up that I can actually talk to other people about what God has done in my life. No. Notice our text, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise is going to be in my mouth continually, nonstop. That means, beloved, that in every situation, in every circumstance, before and in trials and after trials, it means on bright days, but it also means in dark nights. At all times. Continually. I can't say enough good things about my God. I can't keep silent about my God. God himself in all of his circumstances, when he was running from King Saul, when he's sitting there in Gath or in the middle of the Philistines, and then in the cave of Adullam. Continually, David is going to speak good words about his God. Not about himself. Not about what he did. Oh, yes. He does talk about what he did. He was a fool. He was foolish. He didn't trust God like he should have earlier. But oh, God's mercy. And when we talk about God's mercy, yes, it reminds us that we are helpless ourselves and we are sinners ourselves. But God delivers us. And you and I need, like David, to say, I will not rob God of his honor that is due to him. I'm not going to remain silent when I can speak about my God and what he's done for me. We do it right in the middle of our sins and troubles. Like a Jonah. Boys and girls, you remember that story? Jonah sinned. Running away from God, running away from his calling. And God snatches him up in the fish's belly. And there in the belly of the fish, he acknowledges how foolish he was. And he thanks God for that deliverance. And he's going to obey God. So at all times, in every situation, under every circumstance, before trials, in trials, after trials, always speaking good about God and to God, never satisfied that we've done enough, always feeling that we fall short of what the Lord deserves from us. Happy are we when in our hearts and in our minds, and therefore with our lips, we're ready to declare and sing of God's goodness to us. To bless the Lord is never unseasonable, but continually. Our tongues loosened, just as Jesus did mighty miracles, our tongues loosened to sing God's praises. What a blessed mouthful is that praise of God. Don't you find it so? How sweet, how purifying, like sweet perfume. Oh, that our mouths were always filled with that praise of God and to God, and not grumbling or complaining or being bitter, like the Israelites were there in the wilderness. Complaining and complaining and complaining. If only we would roll this little dainty around our tongues like chocolate or like a candy, sweetening our mouth. Then the bitterness of our daily circumstances and our afflictions would be swallowed up in joy. If I were going to explain that, I'm going to go way back in history when I was a little boy, and we had to have cod liver oil. It was nasty stuff, a spoonful every night. But afterwards, right away, a mint was given to us to put in the mouth to take away that bitter taste. With the trials and difficulties in our life that we might say, why, God, this isn't right that this is happening to me. I'm thinking of a young man in my church, cancer, going through terrible treatments. Why is this happening to me? Rather than bitterness. I'd love to visit that man because he's speaking about how God is caring for him, leading him through all these treatments that he's going through. There is, I take a quote from a book that I read, there is an antidote to unhappiness, and it's called gratitude. If you're busy giving thanks to God for what he is and what he has done for you and what he gives you, it's very hard to grumble and complain. It's gratitude rather than self-pity. Deliverance. Boasting in God. That's so natural for us to do, isn't it? Boast. And sinful. It's sinful for us to boast about ourselves. But if boasting is used in this sense, I'm going to boast, my soul is going to boast about what the Lord has done for me. There's nothing better than that. Don't you want to say it with your family, to your fellow members in church, to others in the world? There's no God like unto our God, the God that we know as our salvation in Christ Jesus. So it's not just a tongue. He says, my soul will make her boast in the Lord, a holy boasting. God's person, God's attributes, God's covenant promises, God's wonderful works. Speaking about those things is never in vain. It's not empty speech. We're nothing of ourselves. For in ourselves there's much to lament, to be sorry about, but boasting in God as long as we live. Boasting when? in our lives, what circumstances, when we're afraid, like David was. Adam, when God calls to him in the garden, "Adam, where are you?" Adam says, "I was afraid because I was naked." Afraid because of our sins, we hardly dare to go to God's throne. "I did it again, Father. I asked to forgive me, and then I'd go and do it again." Thoughts that run through our minds, deeds committed. "I'm a sinner. How is God going to deal with me with this sin?" Or the various circumstances that we are in as different members in different times in our life. We're sick. We're waiting for the doctor's verdict. What is it? Is it that horrible C word, cancer? Is it a sickness unto death? Or is it unemployment? The guy let me go after I worked faithfully for him. Or is it our debts? We read in verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Or what about the fears that we might have about our children or our grandchildren? Will they serve the Lord, or when they get older, are they going to turn away from the church and turn away from the Lord? And we're afraid. The trials that each one of us has to go through in our life. How often don't we read in the Bible, or at least the angels saying, "Do not be afraid," or "They were sore afraid"? We can come to God in our prayers and meet with our God. Do we have to be afraid because he is so holy and righteous and we are so sinful? We read in Psalm 18, verse 4, "Floods of ungodly men made me afraid." Or again, Psalm 18, verse 6, "Afraid of the future. What's the stock market going to do? What's going to happen to the few dollars I have saved up? Or will I be found faithful of the Lord?" Psalm 27, verse 1, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." That's Psalm 56. Or Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In all circumstances, the wicked, those who willfully walk in sin, they have every reason to be afraid. Because our God is a consuming fire. And those who do not acknowledge him but willfully walk in their sins will experience his anger and will be cast down to hell. Read in verse 16, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them." Or again in verse 21, "Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate." But for God's people, beautiful things. If we look at what has all taken place in the last couple years as a denomination, are some of you lonely? The Lord is near to help you, to snatch you up, to save you. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous," verse 19, "but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." What are your fears? Is the praise of God on your lips, the sureness in your heart? God's near us to help. He'll hear our cries. Or another one-liner I want you to hold on to. Our circumstances do not define us, but how we react in them does. Different circumstances that we all go through at different times, that doesn't define you. But do you look up? Do you trust in the Lord and then sing his praises? I used the sermon to start our family visitation this past week. How wonderful that the elders can come into the homes, bringing comfort to God's people in different circumstances in their life. The psalm is fitting. And now in our lives, our calling as the body of Christ Jesus who loves one another, speaking to one another to comfort them, to assure them in their circumstances, in their trials, in their sorrows, and even in their sins. If God is for us, who can be against us? That beautiful doxology that we sing when we come into church, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Or coming to one another with Romans 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yes, suffering and afflictions, that is our lot here in this life. But it's nothing compared to the glory of being a child of God, a son or a daughter, and the glory that's going to be ours when there is no more sin or sickness or affliction or pain or sorrow. It's all done away. Do you look forward to encouraging one another in the church? Speaking good words about God and to God in all of your life. Never, never alone. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. That brings me, beloved, to our third point, a fruitful deliverance. A fruitful deliverance. You see, the experience of that kind of deliverance, wonderful deliverance, awakens within us the desire to share it with all of God's people. We say to one another, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who fears him. What wonderful dividends there are in speaking good things to God and about our God to one another. He will reward us in his grace. Taste, see that he's good. Trust, and you'll be blessed. Fear him, and you'll have no want. Verse 10, young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You see, God in Christ Jesus is all that we really ever need. What a God we have. Without him, we're nothing. And we have nothing to look forward to except hell. Our God. And our love for God is not narrow. I love God, that's enough. No, I want all of God's people to love him, to taste and see that he's good. I want them to join in the song with me. Notice, second of all, that our fruitful deliverance tells us the way that we should now live and act. That is our real happiness, not in things. That beautiful car that you have finally starts rusting. The house you just got to keep on paying taxes with, and then someone else inherits it after you die. Nothing in this world is abiding but our God in Christ Jesus. Our happiness is not in things, but in our relationship with our God. He has made us his children. And that means then that we should hate evil. And that's in the sermon that David now is going to preach to that motley group that is with him in the cave of Adullam. What man that loves the Lord must hate evil. He says, keep your lips and your tongues from the works of the devil. Or we're never perfect in this life. We're not ever going to be. We have only a small beginning of obedience. But this kind of deliverance of God, delivering us from our sin and our guilt, produces in us a hatred for that sin, fleeing from that sin, praying to God that he helps us fight those sins. And then positively, you love his goodness. If you desire life and desire it for eternity, you must do good in your life. And he rewards that good, doesn't he? Seek peace, he says, and pursue it. And those things are only possible by the work of the Holy Spirit within us, isn't it? He makes us sorrowful for our sins, and he makes us glad and thankful for our salvation. It is by his Spirit that we fight the good fight all of our life. We have that sinful nature within us. We have that world tempting us. We got the devil all the time tempting us. But we fight the good fight by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit within us, mortifying the sinful flesh and putting on the new obedience that's called of us. Verse 15 and 16 are beautiful. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open up to their cries. And while the face of the Lord is against the wicked, that face of the Lord is near us to bless us. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Can you remember that, boys and girls? God's eye is on you, God's ear is open to your voice, and God's face smiles at you. He loves you. Just as he said about Job when the devil came up into heaven, have you seen my righteous servant Job? How wonderful that God takes that attitude toward you and me, sinners who are made saints by his grace. He is near those who are brokenhearted. Thirdly, what glorious comfort for the sorrowing saint on earth. By God's Spirit and by his word, we see our sin and our guilt, and we are sorrowful for it. Sorrowful because we love the Lord, and therefore we're remorseful for our sins. And God hears our cries for mercy. The Lord is nigh unto them that are brokenhearted. He says, be of good cheer, my son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Do you remember, boys and girls, that story about the woman that was caught in adultery and they hauled her before Jesus? And Jesus shames all those men that were ready to stone her. You who are without sin, go ahead, do it. And they all walk away. And then Jesus says, neither will I condemn you. Go sin no more. What good news, what joyful music in our ears. In Christ Jesus, God says, I'm not going to condemn you. Just don't sin anymore. Fight sin. Live for me. Sing my praises. With that knowledge, we're able to bear our crosses, aren't we? Our afflictions might be many, but we know that God is near us. My sins are forgiven. My guilt is removed. We'll sing songs of praise and thanksgiving. God's wonderful care for his own people. And oh, the blessings that still await us. Shall we not talk to one another about what it will be like when God takes us home to glory and we're going to see the face of Jesus? And shall we not talk about that day when Jesus is going to come again and make all things new, a new heavens and a new earth? We're going to sit around the throne of Christ and our God. And he's going to reveal his work in us. It's all God's work, isn't it? And all the universe will be forced to see that God is good and he is near his people. We who have trusted in God, who sought him, will find him, won't we? Jesus says it, seek and you will find, call and it will be answered. Yes, seeing the face of Jesus, that's what heaven is all about, isn't it? Not being with loved ones here below. Our family relationships are all gone then. What is heaven about? Being with our Lord Jesus in heaven. And no more sickness, no more trials or sorrows, no more temptations or sin or death. There's a beautiful hymn, and I close with it. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy that I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can be here this morning and blend our voices in song and in praise, for thou art worthy. We're thankful that we're able to talk about our wonderful deliverance from sin and the glory that will be ours. So, Father, may our hearts be inflamed. May our minds be enlightened, and then may our tongues be ready to sing, praising thee, speaking of what the Lord has done for us. Amen.